Hey, Vikings fans, welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. We're glad you're here and listening. I am your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Mike Harris, and we're in Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. It's the middle of free agency, but we're going to talk draft to start out the Wobcast. A lot of buzz in the Twin Cities early this week that the Vikings are starting to favor Morris Claiborne, the cornerback from LSU, instead of left tackle Matt Khalil. All of that starting in the media, nothing really starting internally. It's just kind of been the buzz here in the Twin Cities. The assumption all along has been that Matt Khalil would be the Vikings pick at number 3 overall. He's a left tackle from USC. That opinion strengthened by his combine performance, where he really stood out in Indianapolis as the best left tackle. Offensive line considered a safer pick, so when you have a team with the number 3 overall pick and they're deciding between two or three different positions, offensive line you might lean to because it's a safer pick. An offensive lineman doesn't rely on anyone else for help, whereas a wide receiver obviously needs the quarterback. A quarterback needs protection from his offensive line. The secondary relies on the pass rush. The offensive linemen, they don't rely on anyone. So left tackle considered a safe pick. On top of that, the Vikings have a need at the position. With Christian Ponder being sacked 30 times in just 11 games last year, a lot of people think the Vikings need help at offensive line. So that's why Matt Khalil has been the assumed pick. But now a little bit of buzz starting this week that perhaps Morris Claiborne will be the pick. And it makes sense here in Minnesota. You can make a compelling case that the team should take Morris Claiborne instead of Matt Khalil. The Vikings 26th in pass defense last year. They gave up the most passing touchdowns in the NFL. They need a starter. Antoine Winfield looks like he'll be the nickel cornerback and play inside. Vikings will probably have Chris Cook back as a starter, but then that other outside starting cornerback spot is wide open. Morris Claiborne, the top cornerback in this draft, would be a natural fit at that position. So again, it's a lot easier to find a quality, decent offensive lineman later in the draft than it is to find a cornerback later in the draft. So even more reason for a team to pick a cornerback that high. Will the Vikings do it? I don't know. I still lean toward Matt Khalil being the choice for the Vikings. But again, you can make a compelling case for Claiborne, and it'll be interesting to see what the Vikings do. The Vikings are in a good spot at number 3 because there are several players that could be available that other teams might fall in love with. If a team falls in love with Morris Claiborne, like Cleveland, who picks at 4, or St. Louis, who picks at 6, they might have to trade up with the Vikings to go and get Morris Claiborne. Or how about Justin Blackmon? If the St. Louis Rams want to add a receiver to Sam Bradford's arsenal, they might have to trade with the Vikings to come get Justin Blackmon. So, long story longer, the Vikings in a strong position at number 3 overall. Matt Khalil is who I think the team will end up taking, but that's yet to be determined, and a lot of buzz around Morris Claiborne right now. Let's switch, though, from free agency and draft talk and bring in a current Minnesota Viking. He is our starting center, and he's been our starting center for a few seasons now, developed into one of the NFL's top centers. He is John Sullivan. Welcome in, John. What's up?
Thanks for having me, Mike. Yeah. Not too much. How about you?
Not too much. Just doing this right now, talking to you in the studio.
Cool. Sounds really good.
Yeah. So you've been working out a lot. We've seen you around the facility. Not a lot of guys, a few. Mm-hmm. But what have you been up to?
You know, I took a little time off a couple months after the season, so I was in pretty bad shape when I got back here. But yeah. Like you said, I've been back and trying to get back in. Obviously, the off-season program starts later this year, April 23rd. So just trying to make sure I'm ready for that once it gets going.
Is part of being an NFL player after you go through basically August through January, it would be a good thing maybe to take a month off and get, as you put it, out of shape a little bit? Probably good for you. That way you can work yourself back in, right?
Exactly, yeah. You get out of shape physically, but you get back in shape mentally and emotionally. Yeah. You know, the season's a grind. Over the course of 16 games, everybody gets beat down. So you have to give your body time to recover. You have to take time off, like I said before, to refresh yourself. And, yeah, I think it's an important part. You know, you don't want to be in shape all year long. You'll start to wear out joints, do things like that. So, you know, I really think taking the time off is appropriate and necessary.
Yeah, I think too much time off was a factor for the Vikings last season with the lockout. This year we're going to have a normal off season, which is good for us, I think, John, because not everyone is a wily, smart veteran like you on the team. You know, we have young guys. We have a young quarterback. We have a young tight end. We're going to have a lot of young defenders on this team. I think going through a normal off season without the lockout, even though a lot of players might have liked that time off, it's going to be good for this team, don't you think?
You're absolutely right. It definitely affects the quarterback position more than any other. I mean, yeah. That guy, we're talking about Christian, obviously. He's running the show. He's our leader. You know, even though he's a young guy, it's just what that position demands. So missing the whole offseason a year ago was obviously, you know, a hindrance. And with this full off-season program, off-season workouts, time to just work with every receiver, all our running backs, you know, get on the same page as the offensive line in terms of protections, all that stuff would be so much smoother in 2012 than it was in 2011. And, you know, I think the record at the end of the year will show that.
Vikings center John Sullivan, the guest on today's Wobcast. When you're in here, you come in the morning for your workout, and when you get done, do you ever go upstairs and bug the coaches, bug Davidson, or go see what Spielman's doing and what are the Vikings doing in free agency, ask them what we're going to do in the draft? You ever do that?
I only bugged them the day we signed Carlson.
Yeah.
Just to go up there. I want to say hi to my buddy. So, you know, I was up there. I knocked on the door right after he finished signing his contract.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know all the rules now. I mean, based on last year's negotiations,
right.
I don't think we're supposed to talk football, so I haven't been up there
so
really.
So you tread lightly.
Yeah, you know, I've seen Jeff, you know, said hello.
Yep.
For any Vikings fans who know Jeff, he was the guy that was hobbling around on the sidelines a year ago.
Yeah.
And he looks a lot better, hip replacement.
Yep.
So.
And he's lost some weight.
A lot of weight. So, you know, it won't be so uncomfortable to watch him coaching the offensive line next year.
And he's quiet around here normally. You know, if you get him in a private moment, he's a fun guy to be around. But he's generally a reserved person around mass groups of people. I don't think Vikings fans have gotten to know him very well yet.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a coach is he? He was with Bill Belichick in New England. He's got very good pedigree. He played in the NFL, was a good player in college. What kind of a guy is he? What kind of a coach is he? Have you enjoyed working with him so far?
Yeah, you know, it's been huge in my development as a player, the opportunity to work with Jeff. You know, I think most players, especially offensive linemen, we like to play for former players. So,
okay.
Which is a nice situation here. You know, I'll just look at, you know, my situation as an offensive lineman. I've got Jeff Davidson, former player, Bill Musgrave, former player, and then Coach Frazier, former player.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't get any better than that. Jeff's incredibly positive all the time. You know, we have a good group because everybody here wants to work hard. We're self-motivated. We don't need to be screamed at. You know, we go out there, I think we really improved throughout the course of the season a year ago, even though the record doesn't reflect that. And hopefully, you know, through his coaching, you know, that'll be reflected in 2012.
Yeah. Have you ever been screamed at any level by a teammate?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate being screamed at. I mean, if I need it, fine.
Me
but, you know, I'm one of those guys that I'll beat up on myself just fine if I'm not getting the job done.
Yeah.
So nobody has higher standards for me than I do.
Yeah. And you've played up to a pretty high standard, so much so the Vikings extended your contract last year. And we're in the middle of free agency now, and a lot of Vikings fans get riled up because they don't see the team making a lot of moves. Understandable, coming off 3-13. And they don't want to hear this part of it. But the Vikings made a couple of important moves during the season and before the season last year in signing some guys that would have been free agents. You were one of them. Chad Greenway was one of them. Adrian Peterson, Colin Loeffler, guys like that. You guys didn't hit the market. What was that like going through that process of negotiating your contract? And when it was done, was that a relief for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge relief because you take the risk out of those last three games of the season.
Yeah.
Especially, I wasn't a high drafted guy, so I wanted to get myself set up to a point where I could be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm smart for the rest of my life, and I think I was able to do that. And I'm thankful the Vikings for giving me that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really focus on it throughout the course of the season. That's why you pay your agent 3%. You know, they take on that burden. The important thing as a player is just focus on playing well because that's what gets you the contract anyway. You know, it's not about the negotiation itself. You have no leg to stand on if you're not playing well. So I feel very fortunate to be able to do that. And your point about free agency, I mean, if you look at successful teams, you know, unless you're one piece away in one specific spot and you can bring somebody in, you know, kind of like how we were in 2009
exactly.
when we brought in Brett, you know, and right there knocking on the door of the Super Bowl, you know, a couple bad bounces of the ball, you know, away.
Yep.
But most of these teams, you know, you build through the draft, you build through developing your own players. You know, you look at the big spenders in free agency over time, and I haven't done the study of this, you know, I can't give you statistics, but it doesn't seem like that's the way that you build a successful roster and you win games.
I agree. I mean, I saw once that the Green Bay Packers signed an unrestricted free agent. Maybe he was a street free agent because this was a couple weeks ago before free agency started, but they signed a guy. And he was unrestricted, could sign with any team. It was the first unrestricted free agent they had signed since 2009. So that there's a good team. And you look at the Giants, who just won the Super Bowl, obviously the core of their team is all drafted players and not free agents. Even the Saints, they got Drew Brees through free agency. Obviously that eventually led to a Super Bowl for them. But the year they got Drew Brees, they drafted a bunch of guys like Marcus Colston and Jahari Evans. So completely agree with you. You look at some of the best teams they built through the draft. Look at some of the teams spending money right now. John, Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been a winning team. St. Louis hasn't been a winning team, and so, but the I think Vikings fans can understand that, but then they say we have so many holes on this team that we should go out and get someone. And I think the point back to them is it's kind of pay the piper time right now for this organization after going for it in 2009 and 2010. You and I were talking about this earlier.
Yep.
Now you kind of have to reshuffle the deck, rehash things, and start building it the right way for the long term. And I feel like that's the way Rick Spielman is going with this right now.
Yeah, you know, I like, obviously, you know, it's not my job to pass judgment, but I like the way that the team is going. And, you know, I understand that, you know, people want us to sign unrestricted free agents. You know, people get excited about new players joining the team. It's a new jersey to buy. It's a new guy to cheer for. You know, you look at the stats that they had, but I don't see us as having that many holes. We lost three games a year ago by more than a touchdown. You know what I mean?
That's it.
The ball bounces funny, and I know that people don't want to say it, but luck has a lot to do with all this stuff. So I realize that it's a skill to win close games, and we need to get better at that. But, you know, and I understand that, you know, I understand Rick's vision. We're signing players to long-term contracts, guys that aren't old, you know, guys that are young.
Yeah.
But the point is things turn around very fast in the NFL, and I don't know if people have given up on us in 2012. They say it's rebuilding. Well, I think that's BS. You know what I mean? We're not giving up. You know, I don't care. I don't care what we do in free agency. I know we've already got one great player, a great friend of mine. You know, I'm very fired up about that. He's going to help us a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no quit in the 2012 season. I mean, it's March. You know, that's ridiculous. You know, we're ready to go.
Yeah, you got me fired up.
Yeah.
Can I play?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Probably cool. Be a kicker.
Okay. Viking center John Sullivan, our guest. I'm kicker Mike Wobshaw, your host.
Backup kicker Mike Wobshaw.
Right, right. Okay, Ryan Longwell doesn't have anything to be scared about. We talked about John a couple times. So Viking sign him as a free agent. Yep. Your roommate in college, if I'm not mistaken.
At times, yeah.
Okay. So what do you think he brings to the offense? Because I got a couple questions on this. What type of player is John Carlson going to be? And then I have a follow-up after that.
You know what? I'm not, like I said before, there are certain things I'm not qualified to judge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know a whole lot about the tight end position. So you'd be better off asking Rick or Jimmy Johnson or Musgrave, you know, to judge John as a player. I know that his stats from Seattle speak for themselves if you go back to the early years in his career. Obviously, a year ago he was injured, which people can say, you know, well, he missed a whole season. Well, I say he's probably really fresh then.
Yeah, right.
He's probably ready to play.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of his leadership, in terms of what he brings to this team and this community off the field, you know, he's going to be second to none.
Yep.
Just a really nice guy. He wants to do things the right way. Like I talked about before in our offensive line group, self-motivated. He's a Notre Dame guy. You know, so, you know, that tells you a lot right there, in my opinion.
Yeah. So follow-up to that is your buddy Jimmy Kleinsaucer retires after a great career here. And John and Kyle weren't brought in here to block. That's what I'm just going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say that. So I think, and maybe they're capable blockers, but that's not going to be their role. So I think we need a burly, hard-nosed tight end, almost like, I mean, Jim was almost like an offensive lineman with you guys.
Yeah, the big problem is, you know, we're talking about the best blocking tight ends ever played.
Right.
So good luck finding another one, but, you know, we'll do it. But that's the point, though, is guys step up. You know, maybe blocking isn't what we consider the strength of either of those guys right now, but when they're called upon to do that, like I said before, both high character, high integrity guys, they're going to do their absolute best. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Johnson's going to coach them up. Jeff Davidson's going to help them. You know, Musgrave's going to make sure whoever's in there has it right. And, you know, the offense is going to be good to go. I think we made strides a year ago, and it's only going to get better as we go forward.
For you and your development, when you were a young player behind Matt Burke right away, and then your first year as a starter, Brett comes in and plays. Those are two pretty good guys to help you along in your first 2 years, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I was able to learn from those guys. You know, obviously Hutch and Anthony as well.
Okay.
And it's sad to see them go. I wish them nothing but the best. Best of luck. Where the position I find myself in right now is due in large part to their contributions to my development as a young player. They were both mentors to me. I remember coming in, you know, for our first rookie mini camp, and then the start of OTAs, and Matt was not around at that point. He came back, obviously, for the 08 season, but I was playing with the ones, and it was intimidating to be playing next to Hutch and Ant.
Yeah.
But, you know, they really helped me along at that point. And, you know, great players for this team for a long time. So those guys probably more so than anybody else. Because once, you know, you can learn a lot backing up, but you really need to get into the fire.
So now it kind of comes full circle because we're getting younger on the offensive line. This is kind of your meeting room now. This is your group. Do you think you're ready? What about you? Are you ready to step into the next role and be a leader in that room?
I mean, that kind of goes along with the territory of the position at center. You know, I know that I wasn't the oldest guy on the offensive line, and I'm not going to call myself the leader, but that's just the way that room functions. That's the way it functions on game day because I have to make those calls. You know, I'm in a unique position because I can see both sides of the field. The right guard can only see the right side of the field. The left guard can only see the left side. So it doesn't matter, you know, how intelligent those guys are because the guys we had there playing the past couple of years are incredibly smart. When it comes down to it, they can only see one half of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm in a unique position where I can help out the quarterback to make calls. And I've always said my only job is to make him as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
You know, if the quarterback wants to do something, even if that's not what we've discussed with the coaches, even though if I know that there's something else that's supposed to be the call based on the game plan, it doesn't matter. As long as the quarterback's comfortable and, you know, we go out and win football games, that's what counts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in terms of taking that leadership role in that room, if you're talking about playing center, I've already been there.
Yeah, good. Viking center John Sullivan, the guest on today's Wobcast. You sick of Peyton Manning and Tim Tebow talk already? It's only been 12 days since Peyton Manning was released, but it feels like 12 weeks with all the coverage. Are you sick of it?
Yeah, it's been a lot of coverage, but I'm not sick of it. I'm excited to see what he does in Denver.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what happens in the AFC West.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there're certainly questions, you know, surrounding injuries and you know, I don't know Peyton, so it's hard to make predictions, but knowing his body of work over his NFL career, I would assume that he'll go there and be successful.
Yeah.
And I would have to think they're the early favorite to win the AFC West.
Sure. I can imagine what Denver's going through. Whoever the dude is in Denver that does what I do, relating back to Brett Favre in 2009, I mean,
How crazy it can get.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a fun time for them, so it'll be interesting to see what happens
in
Denver. What's life like in Minnesota for you? What do you do in your free time?
I work out. I just moved onto the lake.
Yeah, so, Lake Minnetonka.
Yep, on Lake Minnetonka, so I'm very fired up about that. Boco's in April 3rd.
Okay.
Which is nice.
You're such a Minnesotan right now.
I know. I haven't been doing it recently, but my first couple of years up here, I got into shooting sporting clays down at Horse and Hunt. So
nice.
I'll be doing that again soon, especially with this nice weather. But, I try to embrace what we have here in the lovely state of Minnesota.
Okay, I've lived here all my life. You haven't. And you've already done something that is very Minnesotan and everyone needs to do who lives in Minnesota, supposedly. You've gone way up north ice fishing.
Well, Lake of the Woods,
And maybe you've done it multiple times.
Twice.
Or was that, okay,
twice,
so what was that like? And who'd you? Because I know you went with a pretty good group of guys.
Yeah, the past 2 years I've gone up with Hutch, Jim Kleinsaucer, and Tom West.
Yep.
And the first year we were able to stay out on the ice, you know, a little four-man house. It was tiny. You get in each other's way, and you know the diet's not great. It's a lot of beer and Doritos and summer sausage.
Yeah.
But we had a great time, caught a lot of fish. And this year, you know, the ice wasn't quite as nice because obviously the warm temperatures we've had.
Yeah.
So we were a little limited on the lake. We couldn't get to the nice structure, the nice reefs and rocks.
Yep.
But still, it was a great time. We're up at a place up, Arneson's Rocky Point. They take good care of us. Take good care of everybody that goes up there,
cool.
And it's a nice spot.
Your favorite NFL memory?
If I think of one moment, it was when Greg Lewis caught the touchdown against San Francisco. I mean, it wasn't even the catch because, like, you know, and I appreciate replay, but, you know, you have to wait for the replay to be confirmed. So it was once we heard that the replay was confirmed, that was awesome. Oh, I must say also, when we beat Dallas in the playoffs.
That's what I was going to ask.
Because they're such a, I mean, they've got some nice guys, but they've got some jerks on that defense.
Yeah.
So I was happy when we beat them.
That was a fun one.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody can go back and find which one I'm talking about.
And we can be more descriptive. We didn't just defeat Dallas that day.
Yeah, we smashed Dallas.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. All right, cool. And you're on Twitter. So
I am on Twitter.
Let us know your handle so people can follow you.
It's at JASully65. I'm new to Twitter. Sorry about that.
Good.
But, yeah, I can't find anything with John Sullivan in it because there are too many of us.
All right.
So, yeah, if you want to follow me, at jsully65.
Yeah, you have a generic name but a unique Twitter handle.
Yeah,
that's
thanks.
How you term that.
Thanks.
Thanks, John, for joining us. Appreciate you coming in to chat. A couple quick things before we close. The Vikings have a promotions Twitter account called @VikingsPromo. So you go to Twitter, follow @VikingsPromos, and you're going to be eligible to win Vikings prizes. The Vikings are giving away prizes each day from now until training camp. You follow @VikingsPromos, and you're eligible to win a prize. It could be autographed merchandise, game-worn gear from players, other cool stuff. There's DVDs from HBO. It's just Viking stuff that you can't get anywhere else. It's really cool. Check it out on Twitter, @VikingsPromos. Check it out, and you're eligible to win some prizes. Last thing before we get going, Peyton Manning. We talked about him the last couple of Wobcasts and how it could impact the Vikings. He finally made a decision. 12 days after parting ways with the Colts, Peyton Manning signs with the Denver Broncos in the AFC West. Depending on how you look at it, that's good news for the Vikings because the Broncos are not on the home or away schedule, so the Vikings and Vikings fans will not have to contend with Peyton Manning in the 2012 season. That's good news because I think he's going to bounce back in a big way. The other thing is, Peyton Manning signing with the Broncos does not displace a franchise-caliber quarterback for another team that's looking to upgrade at that position. That's good news for the Vikings. It will displace Tim Tebow. The Broncos are probably going to try and trade him to another team. But regardless of where he goes, that team is still going to be looking for a pocket-passing franchise-caliber quarterback. So the market for those quarterbacks is going to favor the Vikings, especially draft time. Ryan Tannehill is the best available quarterback in the draft, assuming that Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III go to Indianapolis and Washington. So the Vikings sitting at number three, Ryan Tannehill will be on the board. So the Cleveland Browns, if they're looking to upgrade their quarterback position, or the Jacksonville Jaguars, or the Miami Dolphins, or the Buffalo Bills, any of those teams that want to upgrade at quarterback, and if they've identified Ryan Tannehill as the guy that they want to go to upgrade their position, they got to come through the Vikings to ensure that they get that guy. So the Vikings, as we've said all episode in this week's Wobcast, and we've said it before, they're in a really good spot at number three overall. They can stay there and select the best player on the board, or they can trade back using Tannehill, Khalil, Blackman, Claiborne, Trent Richardson as leverage with other teams to potentially move back, pick up extra draft picks, and still get a player that they like. So that's the rundown this week on the Wobcast. Thanks again for listening. I'm Mike Wobshaw. We're going to leave you with a good one from the Dropkick Murphys. Take it away.